Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to awaken to the truth of your soul? Welcome to today's episode of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show with your host, Nadia Khalil.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to today's show. First of all, I have to thank you guys for what you did yesterday. I saw it in the middle of the day, and I thought, oh my God, what just happened? Like, I don't know what just happened, but I can't thank you guys enough. And I have to tell you, it is always darkest before the dawn, because yesterday I went to my office, and before that I was having a hard time going, and there's no internet, and there's no this, and there's no that. And I found ways to do that, and we are on our way to getting things done. And I had my first employee, like, really coming in, like, we're really working together. It's so cool. And the tides have changed, the world has changed, life has changed, and as many crazy things that are happening in the world, there are a lot of people doing a lot of great things and working hard to make sure that we do have a better world to live in. And it starts with truly all the love, at least for me, how it feels to be here and to share these things with you guys. So I can't thank you guys enough just for your love and what you've done and what you're putting your time into. It's amazing, and I appreciate it so much. So just had to do a huge shout out for that, because there's something about change that's changing right now. Not only change that we can change, but how we change and how easy the mechanisms are and the way life is set up now, how easy we can change. The movements are different. We've evolved to a certain point. And I know today's Relationship Wednesday, and I wanted to talk about how we can change within ourselves, because a lot of times we want everything else to change for us to change. We want the people in our lives to change, our job to change, our house to change, all of that, and then we think that's going to change us, and then we turn around and find out that, wait a minute, I'm still the same. That just kind of occupied my time for now. But when you're in a relationship and you believe the person you are with can change, is that realistic? Are habits of many, many, many years something that you can walk in on and say, oh, well, I don't like this. I need you to change. And the other person's like, but why? I'm fine. I may not like it, but I also don't have anything that I felt I really needed to change that bad. So how can you get that person to get to where you want them? And is that even realistic or in your best interest or in their best interest? How realistic is it for you to change? And do those changes, and does that change add to your relationship? And if there are changes that need to be made that are necessary for your relationship to survive, and that person can't make them even after continuous asking, what chance of survival do you have? When you run into situations where a habit is so ingrained and you yourself are finding that you're having many, many conflicts over the same thing over and over again. Let's say the person has a habit of lying, because that's an addictive habit, believe it or not. Because something like drinking, you would know beforehand. Something like whatever comes up, the dramas and that, you would know beforehand because you're in a relationship with that person. But little things like not telling the truth, and it's about maybe this here and that there, and you have no idea. And when you ask questions, there's no answers, let's say, or no clear-cut answer that gives you a sense of calm, a sense of peace. So what happens to us is that we start to become people we don't know when we are around circumstances that we don't know. So then we go to the person and we say, hey, you know what? This and this and this is happening. Do you get it? And the person denies it. Or they blame you, or they twist you around. And then you say, but if this can't change, I don't know how to survive. So the person says, well, I'll try, but I can't kind of guarantee anything. It's because the element of change is like a block for us. We think of change as positive when we think of change for ourselves, like, oh, I want to get better and I want to do this and I want to do that. But we also think of change as negative. That, well, why do I have to change? And especially if somebody approaches us and asks us. So I asked Christ, I was like, hey, what is the first element of change? I knew this past weekend I honestly had like a reckoning with myself. And I know who I am, but I didn't know how to change the stuff that's not helping me. It's not that I didn't know how. I thought I was doing it, but it's like I can't go fast enough because I don't have a cushion. It's like I'm just hanging from a building and there's nothing on the bottom. I need to do what I need to do. And because I don't have that, I realized that inside of me, somehow, I wanted to feel at least like I was okay to do the work I was doing. So I kept trying to make myself okay so that I could do the work. And I did what I needed to do, but I didn't realize how much more I could do, but I had to change my mindset and take out the fact that I've been looking for this security pretty much all of my life, looking to be somehow supported. And I didn't know how to find that. I've been kind of starving for that since I got divorced, and I kind of got tired of having to be both the mom and the dad and this and that. And I realized I was carrying that. And it hit me like somebody pouring cold water over my head this weekend. It's like I put my head in the sand and I just let myself go into shock. And I thought, I have to change. The pain finally got greater than the pleasure. And it wasn't that easy, but I didn't realize the pain wasn't more than the pleasure yet. And that is when I changed. That is when any of us can change. That sweet spot that we have to hit to recognize and realize what we're doing to ourselves. It's not what anybody's doing to us, but how we perceive our world, how we perceive ourselves in it, what we want from it, and what we can do to get that. It's so simple, but when you put it into practice and you slide it into life, it's not that simple anymore, because to change one thing, you have to change everything. And I was avoiding going to the office. I had my computer here. I had all my stuff here. But when I'm here, I'm interrupted by whatever comes to my door. Or I get up and I, let me put that load in. Let me make sure I make dinner. Well, I can still do all of that if I just created a stronger structure. So I left. I left my place. I put everything in a case and I left. And I knew that now I can't imagine myself not in that office. And before that, I couldn't imagine myself in that office. And I had great reasons why. And I thought, how does that carry over into relationships? Because we have Relationship Wednesday, and I know for a fact that changes in relationships are much harder than, say, the change I found with myself. Because with myself, I had no one to fight but me, and I knew enough to know when I was telling myself the bottom line truth of why I'm doing what I'm doing. What happened to me? Because I love to help people and I love doing it without getting anything back. For whatever reason, in my mind, I know and I believe that somebody can receive it when it just comes to them quietly. And in the back of my heart even, I knew that those gentle pushes are what allow people being open enough to create themselves a bigger space to grow in. So when we are in relationships, just using the word change scares us. Because sometimes we want our partners to change, but when they change, we don't like how they changed because now we don't even know who they are. It's one of those, be careful, you might get what you ask for. The bigger picture, even on top of all of that, is that anything that comes between two people with love and through love, the other person can accept. And if they're going to fight you when you come to them with love, then you have to question the sustainability of the relationship, because if the language of love isn't understood, then it's a whole different story. If when you speak in love, the other person doesn't get what you're talking about, doesn't get that you're coming with pure intent, doesn't get that you're coming with love, and they fight you and they wear you out and they don't care what they've done to you because it's all about them and them getting away with what they need to get away with, that's a different story. But one issue I have with some couples, just a couple on this one, but it was big enough for me to bring it up now, and that was the health of another one. Two different ways. One, it had to do with alcohol, but the other one had to do with food. The woman's husband is suffering from blood pressure issues, diabetes issues, but he's not that old yet. But his food is going to kill him. It's already working on it. And she's saying, wow, our life has changed. But how do I get my husband to eat better so that I can have my husband? And for her, it's a matter of life and death. For him, it's a matter of enjoying the life he has. And he feels that through the food he eats, that brings him enjoyment. So we talked about it. How do we bring about change when one of the two feels like the other one's hurting themselves and the other one's saying, I don't know if I care. I want to enjoy my life. And the other one's saying, but that's so selfish because now if you leave, I don't have you, the kids don't have you. And the signs are already starting to show up of physical distress to your body. So I talked about, okay, I know this sounds so simple, but what are your favorite meals? He named them all. He named his favorite snacks. Other than the donuts, I think there's room to work in there. So I told them, you know what? When it comes to food, I happen to know a lot. That's been real important to me all along. And I know it's important to a lot of the listeners because I saw Eric shake with the sesame seeds and I saw Wilma's meals posted on her page and all the newness that she found. I saw how we're, you know, all bringing up ideas about these things when we do talk about them. And I said, there's so many options now, especially it used to be just Southern California, but now when I travel, I have found it everywhere. I found it in Chicago. They have Whole Foods there now. They have Trader Joe's there now. They have non-GMO. They have chocolates and that. And I said, if you can just detox, give yourself 3 days without sugar, you will lose the taste and the addictive feeling towards it. It will be hard for 3 days, but it's a small price to pay for what you're going to get back. Because you're going to get something back. But you can actually duplicate all of the dishes you want and not really compromise on taste. It'll even be more flavorful by the ingredients you put in them. But the only change that has to be made on both of your parts is that you're going to have to shop and cook more fresh food. If you both can just take that baby step, you may be able to solve your problem right there. They looked at me like, are you kidding? And I said, really try it. Buy fresh food. Look for the recipes you have and modify them with better ingredients. Don't buy anything in a box that you need to make in 2 minutes, and don't microwave your food because you're going to kill the energy in it. And they got on this little kick, and it became something they do together. So it was a change that was welcome, but they honestly just didn't have a roadmap. Just the word change that scares us. We want it and we don't want it. We love it and we hate it. But to change anything has to come with dual purpose, with absolute, I want to say, purity to the other person. Because what happens is that purity, and today there's a lot that Christ is saying about purity, but he also says, you know, that the purity of us brings tears to our eyes, because that's when we feel deeply. So when you come to a person with love and you say to them, you know what, honey, I think that you're bringing something to us, to our relationship, that's hurting us. And I think that these lies that you're saying, you don't really need to say. If you say that to the person, and then you turn around and there's another one, and then there's another one, and then there's another one, you have to ask yourself, okay, if I accept these, will I bring about change? Will I bring about growth? Will I bring about warmth? If every time I approach, we get into another circular argument because I don't feel I got the truth, then that's a change you may not be able to make, because that person, before they got to you and probably after they leave you, will stay in that mode. It's a hard mode to get out of if someone cannot admit that they need change. It's that delicate, but that simple. If you approach with love, because most people feel manipulated when someone wants to change them. But that's that hard line, hardcore, my way or the highway thinking. But when change betters them and you and the family and the relationship, it's always welcome. But the word change, for some reason, has baggage to it, just like religion, just like you talk about politics, you talk about sex. It's got all these preconceived ideas thrown on it. But transitioning, hey, can we transition from here to there? These are the steps. That's much more realistic than the ambiguous word of change. If every time you think of the word change, you think, you know what, I need to transition my thoughts from here to there because I'm not helping myself thinking the way I'm thinking. That way you can change you. You can create a template for your own personal growth. And when you can do that, you can help your children learn to think that way. Your partner may catch on. And the things that you're looking for in life for your family will start to present themselves. Even while you're doing it, you will see the answers start showing up. The beauty of it is that we are all capable of it. Whatever it is we want to do, whatever it is we think that we can't do, we can if we think of it as a transition and not as the word change. Can a person change? Yes. How do you change? Through thinking transitional thoughts. Is it realistic? Yes. Can you do it? Anytime, any day, you can. It's literally that transitional thought, that building bridges so that you can cross over them. A lot of times we'll look at a big body of water and say, how are we going to connect the land to the other piece of land? We create a bridge. And once we create a bridge, we can actually see the other land. And it's the same thing for us emotionally. If you are in a place in your mind where you do not believe you can build a bridge to get where you want to go, you have to ask yourself, do you really believe you need to get there? Because that will be the only thing that stops you, is the belief to think that you cannot get there. The other day, Christ, you know, these the posts, when I put them up, they come out so fast, and I go back and read them, and I'm like, oh, that's so cool. That's just so cool. Like, I can't believe it. And one of the things, you know, that Christ said is sometimes all we need to do is believe in believing. That's all we need. Because when we believe in believing, we have a chance to grow our souls, to transition our souls, to do the things that actually build us and don't break us. Sometimes we take ideas from when we were younger and they just become thought that we believe in our heart and in our mind is actually the only way to think. Especially if you were raised pretty strict, or somebody wasn't even there to tell you anything and you got used to kind of being in an abyss. Nobody gets to leave their childhood without taking something from their childhood to fix. So we need to get over the fact that we have things to fix and learn how to fix them, learn how to heal them, learn how to grow them. And it all boils down back to transitional thought. What do I want to do first to get this from myself, for myself? And the more you learn to do that, the less, and I know this sounds weird because we all like nice things, but those things look different to us later, because what starts to fulfill us is us. Because when we start to believe in ourselves, all of a sudden we make this mental transition from, I need to watch this movie to be happy, that's when I'm happy, or I need to do this, or I need to do that, or I need to eat this. We start thinking bigger. Like, does that serve me well, or doesn't it? Is this good for me, or isn't it? Am I happy here, or aren't I? And you really start to think about the answers instead of just having the questions. That's the beauty of transitional thought. I am transitioning from here to here. That we can do. That feels doable. That feels love. Love and space to give yourself the chance to say, you know what? I could do more here. That my favorite line from Maya Angelou that I will never, ever lose is, when you know better, do better. We can only do better when we know better. We don't know what we don't know. But there's ways to find out and ways to explore and to replace the words that come with all that baggage to something that feels pliable, something that feels loving, something that gives us space, something that doesn't judge us along the way. Well, did you change? Well, you haven't changed yet. And when you talk like that to someone, it's like an assault. But when you say, hey, I know you're in the process. Do you need any help? Is there anything I can do? I know there's things I want to transition through as well. When you can speak that way, it's in a completely different tone. It's in a completely different energy. The exchange of the energy between you and life becomes open and pure and clean and clear. And you kind of can see where you're going. We'll always be in transition of something, and just thinking of that and narrowing it down to, but this is what I'm transitioning now, gives you an opportunity to breathe, to learn, And you know what might happen in it? And I know Christ says this all the time because we don't know what we don't know till we get there. But you may realize that that's not the direction you actually want to go. And while you're transitioning, you can go back to the fork in the road and say, wait, this is what I really wanted. I just couldn't think that big yet. And isn't it cool that you can think that big? And you say, wow, I never thought of this for me. I always thought other people did this, but now I know how they did it. They did it one step at a time. When we say the word change, we think we need to do the whole thing in one full blow. And if we didn't, we failed. If it didn't happen in a week, if it didn't happen in 2 weeks. But if you say, I'm starting this today, and if I didn't start it today, I'll never get to it. But maybe in about 3 months, I will start to see the benefit of my work or my decision. It's so, so cool when you have a chance to work with yourself in a workable way. As simple as that sounds, that's what's missing when it comes to change. We look at change as this big, big monster, you know, that we don't know how to tackle, but we can put it off very easily for one day to come. And as I've said before, and I will continue to say because it never fails to escape someone at some point in time, that we have to start anything. But once we start, it's already started. It's already happening. The transition is already taking place. The energy is already set in place, and it will teach you and throw you and challenge you and question you. But that's exactly what you came here to do. So when we're not doing that, we're stuck. And how many people have you heard say, how many times have you heard yourself say, oh, I just need some change. I need to change. I just don't know what to change. We need to think about what we think about. We need to pay attention to the little things that go on in our mind because they're there for a reason. I have to tell you guys a story, and I hope I have a minute to do that. I'm working on a foundation, a nonprofit foundation, and it involves having emotional health care for everyone, but for free. And it's a foundation, it's a nonprofit, we're working on it. The one person I found to work on it, it turns out, and neither one of us knew this until I presented the entire idea that I had. And she ran home. She was crying when she was in my office. And she ran home and she sent me an inbox her entire business plan that she actually tried to do this 3 years ago. And she couldn't believe that God brought her to me. And I did the exact same thing, almost from what I just saw, word for word. And she said, I can't believe that God gave me this to do. And do you know what Christ told us? When I give you a job, when I give you something to do and you don't do it, I have to take it and give it to someone else to do it because it needs to get done. It just needs to get done. So that idea, literally almost word for word, came to me, and now I'm running with it. And she ended up being the person who's helping me set it up. She got scared. She didn't know how to transition. It was a big change to her life, and I understand that. There's big changes to my life too, but I was willing to take it. I was willing to put myself in that position. And to see a grown woman cry was so beautiful that she said, you're not going to believe me if I tell you. And when she told me, she just blew me away. And when she sent me the plan that she had written, it was literally almost word for word. Believe in the bigger picture. Believe in transition. You guys, I love you so very much. I will see you tomorrow on Dream Theme Thursday. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to today's Daily Dose of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show.